Susan?
You're live. I don't know. Which version?
We have a new.
There's a new one that's going to come around, I guess.
Got a full house.
Is that right? Wow. Really amazing.
Really weird.
Good morning and welcome. I will now call the Subcommittee on Clean Water to order. We do have a quorum present. And the only item on the agenda today is to go over the Clean Water Bill.
It's an amendment.
And I have a delete all amendment. Do I have a copy?
I just got it this morning. So.
Got it.
I just got the language this morning. And this is Senate File 1651. So
just wait a minute until I get it handed out.
We're waiting. Everyone gets a copy.
Madam Chair, we're on the A2 amendment. Is that?
We've got the A2 amendment, yes. It's a delete all amendment.
Does the public have it? Not yet.
So while we're waiting for it to come out, do you know what I'm going to ask the page to do is pass it out individually to you so there's not this rush to the desk. Maybe somebody else can help speed this up a little.
Yep.
And Madam Chair, I just wanted to let people know that there are more copies coming. These are just the first copies off the printer just before I got up. And so there'll be some more copies coming if that's not enough.
All right. You may have to share until the additional copies come. We have a hardworking staff. We worked on this into the night and again this morning, and we hope it's in pretty good shape. Just some opening remarks. I'd like to say that or recognize the fact that Minnesota is rich in its resources and particularly in its water. What is even more significant is that Minnesotans themselves cherish their natural resources. And they were willing to back up that value by constitutionally dedicating funds for the protection of their water. Our quality of life, including our personal economic well-being, depends on it. We are also fortunate to have a wide range of individuals, conservation organizations, and institutions committed to collaborating around the best science to develop strategies and partnerships that will improve and sustain the quality and quantity of our water in Minnesota long into the future. Their leadership has been pivotal not only in the passage of the constitutional amendment last November, but also in the development of legislation that makes initial appropriations from the newly created Clean Water Fund. And though very much a work in progress, I believe the Clean Water Bill represents the beginning of a systematic approach to protecting, enhancing, and restoring all of Minnesota's waters. And that is what's central to this bill. So do I need to move the A2 amendment?
Madam Chair, I can move it.
Okay.
I wouldn't adopt it yet, though, because you're going to adopt it with the spreadsheet later.
So do we just want to go through the amendment?
I think that'd be a good idea.
We're going to have Mr. Knopf walk us through the amendment. You will notice that, as I mentioned on Saturday, for those of you who were here, that this bill is organized not by allocations to agencies, but rather according to the tasks that are before us. And I believe that we followed the language of the Clean Water Constitutional Amendment language, which first and foremost wants us to protect our lakes, rivers, and streams, restore them, and then it wants us to protect drinking groundwater from degradation and then drinking water source points. We believe that the constitutional amendment also asks us, we cannot do that without certain activities. The first of those activities is assessment of the waters, and then the other two include getting the science in place so that we do what we do well. And then finally, including and participating and collaborating with citizens around the state. As we all know, there's simply not enough money to do all of this. We can only, we have to set priorities. And these are the priorities that we believe will get us where we need to go. Mr. Knauf?
Madam Chair, I think what I'll do, since we went through this on Saturday, I'll just show you where the changes are from the document that people reviewed on Saturday.
I don't know, Mr. Knauf, a lot of people that are here were not here Saturday, so maybe you don't have to go through in great detail, but...
Okay, Madam Chair, I can do that. Well, Madam Chair, on the first page, I just want to note on 1.16, we're adding a line for the University of Minnesota because we did add the provisions from Senator Anderson. The one provision from Senator Anderson's bill, 2112, on Saturday morning. Also on line 1.32, we did add and preservation to the non-point source protection, basically just the head note there. And you will note on each of these sections, for those who weren't here on Saturday, if you look on 1.34 to 1.37, it does kind of characterize these appropriations and to fit into the language of the Constitution, with protection, enhancement, and restoration of lakes, rivers, and streams. There's a slight variation in some of the provisions, some of the sections later on, but for each one, we're giving a total appropriation and then specifying it for that and using that language. On page 2, we have the non-point source restoration and protection and preservation to the Department of Natural Resources, and you'll notice that on 2.5 to 2.9, there is money included in here. It says money appropriated in the subdivision may be used to acquire aquatic management areas to address water quality protection under a total maximum daily load implementation plan. That is something that was added since Saturday, and it includes basically that ability to acquire those aquatic management areas as long as they are to address water quality protection under a TMDL implementation plan. There was some language in Senator Chaudhry's bill 1836 that was related to that, but this is a little bit tighter on how it can be used. And then subdivision 3 is the Board of Water and Soil Resources targeted non-point source pollution reduction. Included in that is the in paragraph B, you have the Anoka County Anoka Conservation District for the Metropolitan Landscape Restoration Program. And then also the Board of Water and Soil Resources in paragraph C, for contracting with the Conservation Corps. That was something that Mr. Price talked about last week with the subcommittee. 2.30, 2.31, that's the non-point source or non-point restoration technical assistance and engineering. We have in subdivision 5 on page 3, we have the SSTS program. For the PCA, there was money in last year's bill for that, and also in Senator Fredrickson's bill. Subdivision 6 is the failing subsurface sewage treatment systems. Again, there was money in Senator Fredrickson's bill for that. Same with Subdivision 7 and the feedlot water quality grants. This is the language from Senator Fredrickson's bill. Local non-point source activity support, that is also from Senator Fredrickson's bill. And those are appropriations to Bowser. And then in Subdivision 9, we have the Shoreline Protection and Restoration Grants Program. There was that was also language in paragraph A from Senator Fredrickson's bill. The one addition is Senator Torres Ray's bill on Hennepin County in paragraph B for repairing and restoration in Hennepin County. The one addition from Senator Torres Ray's bills is on 4.22. This appropriation must be matched by non-state sources, including in-kind contributions. Subdivision 10 is the St. Louis River. That was in the governor's budget. The one addition here, and this is something that we'd heard was going to happen, but this makes sure that the money is only available if it does happen. On 4.28, there's the sentence, this appropriation must be matched by non-state money at a rate of $2 for every $1 of state money, and that was mentioned that there'd be federal money available for this at a 2-to-1 rate. The Mississippi River Critical Area, that was from Senator Siebens, Senate File 671. And that is the rule, and you will see the language later in this draft on what was adopted by the subcommittee on that bill last week. Subdivision 12 is the oversight, support, and accountability. Paragraph A was the language from Senator Fredrickson's bill. This requires the board, along with the Commissioner of Natural Resources and PCA, basically to provide oversight, support, and accountability, including a report to the legislature. Paragraph B was added by the division. By the subcommittee, organizations receiving grants shall provide information to the agencies listed. And those can go out. Those are just additional copies. Madam Chair, there are some additional copies that are available now.
Thank you.
And then on Subdivision 13, we got the Ag BMP loans. That's, again, was from Senator Fredrickson's bill, although there was some language added on 6.4 through 6.10, basically on how these how this money is treated. Basically, that if it's going out past through the local government, it's available until spent. The unencumbered balance that is not passed through is, can be retained by the Department of Agriculture, and then at least 90% must be for pass-through. Then we have appropriation conditions. Again, for each of these subdivisions, for each of these sections will be a subdivision dealing with conditions. This has two conditions within it. It basically allows the appropriations to be carried forward or backward, if that's possible, based on the flow of money coming into the Clean Water Fund. 6.22 to 6.25, I'll only mention this once now, but in each section there is that ability to carry grant money forward after the biennium, as long as it's encumbered by the end of this biennium. And then the point source protection, again, we have the language at the beginning. And Subdivision 2 are the TMDL grants. This is through the Public Facilities Authority. All these programs are. And then the phosphorus reduction grants, the small community waste treatment grants and loans, and small community technical assistance. Those are the same categories that were carried were in Senator Fredrickson's bill and have been appropriated in the past. Subdivision 6, the water reuse pilot, it's a little bit different from what you saw on Saturday. Paragraph A is just, it's the basic language that says it's for grants for wastewater reuse pilot projects. B is basically the a grant to ethanol plants that are within 1.5 miles of a city for improvements that reuse greater than 300,000 gallons of wastewater per day. There was some issue about what the 350 meant last week, whether it was million or thousands or not. And this clarifies that it's 300,000 gallons. I did talk to Senator Rosen to make sure I had the right number there. And then in Section 5, we have the assessment monitoring and TMDL development. Again, it's a similar language at the beginning under the total appropriation. And then Subdivision 2 is the statewide assessment and monitoring. That's the PCA money for the assessment and monitoring. And then in 8.6 in Paragraph B, there's the money for the Red River Watershed Management Board for the River Watch program. In paragraph C, this was another bill of Senator Siebens dealing with Wisconsin and the National Park Service combining on comprehensive water monitoring. And you will see that on 8.30, this appropriation is available to the extent matched by non-state sources. There was some concern that Wisconsin wouldn't be putting in any money for this. What this does is it says that it, if it's not matched by November 15, 2010, any money that's not matched under this paragraph would be available for the purposes of paragraph A, so it would be available for the broader statewide assessment and monitoring. Subdivision 3 is endocrine disruptor monitoring analysis, again, in Senator Fredrickson's bill and also a governor's recommendation. Subdivision 4, water quality assessments for the DNR. This is, again, was in Senator Fredrickson's bill. Pesticide monitoring assessment, Subdivision 5, this was... paragraph A is from Senator Fredrickson's bill. Paragraph B was from Senator Erickson Rope's bill relating to the river watershed, a pilot project for that. Subdivision 6 is the PCA TMDL development, and this again was from Senator Fredrickson's bill, except on line 9.30 to 9.32, there is a sentence that said they must complete an average of 10% each year over the biennium. Paragraph B is the Buffalo River. This is the pilot project that actually has started. Senator Langseth presented a bill on this, and it would allow for the agency, in fact, it directs the agency to continue that pilot project of basically doing the TMDL plans based on the watershed. And Subdivision 7 is the TMDL, DNR TMDL development language. Again, it was in Senator Fredrickson's bill. Subdivision 8 is the MDA TMDL technical assistance. That's for Department of Agriculture. That was in the Senator Fredrickson bill. And Subdivision 9, again, is appropriation conditions. Section 3, groundwater and drinking water protection. Again, you have the total appropriation. You have a slightly different language following that because this is for the protection of groundwater and drinking water sources. Then you have subdivision 2 is the PCA assessment and protection. That, again, was in Senator Frederickson's bill. The subdivision 3 is a DNR assessment and protection, again, from Senator Frederickson's bill. And then you have contaminant assessment, again, from Senator Frederickson's bill. That's for the Department of Health. And then in subdivision 5, we did add and preservation. So it's source water protection and preservation. And, again, that was from Senator Frederickson's bill. Subdivision 6 is a metropolitan master plan implementation. That was in the governor's recommendation. And then subdivision 7 is the MDA assessment and protection. That was also in the Senator Frederickson's bill. And then the appropriation conditions. Education, now section 6 is education and public engagement. And again, that sentence that leads the section basically says it's for education and public engagement and the protection, restoration, and enhancement of waters of the state. And because waters of the state include both ground and surface waters. We have the non-point civic engagement. This was from Senator Frederickson's bill. There is an additional sentence in here on 12.20 where it says that the board has to develop a plan for expenditures and the plan must be submitted to the chairs and ranking minority members of the finance divisions. And paragraph B is from Senator Mary Olson's Star Lakes board proposal. It is a little bit scaled back from what she had. It's basically a pilot program to focus on engaging citizen participation. Subdivision 3 is the TMDL development civic engagement. This is for the Pollution Control Agency. Again, this was from the first set sentence was from Senator Frederickson's bill, and again, the added two sentences on 13.6 through 13.12 was just to make sure that we have a plan for expenditures under that. Subdivision 4, again, appropriation conditions. Section 8, research and tool development. And then, again, the paragraph below that says for research and tool development for the protection, enhancement, and restoration of waters of the state, which would include both surface and groundwater. Subdivision 2 are the ag practices, research, evaluations, and effectiveness. Paragraph A is from Senator Frederickson's bill. Paragraph B was from the bill we heard from Senator Foley on the South Central Service Cooperative. It's a pilot program. And then C was from Senator Chaudhry's bill, 1836, on the LEQA program, Livestock Environmental Quality Assurance, and that provides money for that program. And then D is a report under that program. Subdivision C of the County Geologic Atlases. This was from Senator Rummel's bill that we heard last week. Subdivision 4, Stormwater Design Standards. This was from Senator Chaudhry's bill on stormwater design. And includes a report to the chairs and ranking minority members again. Subdivision 5 is a high resolution elevation data. The LIDAR, this is from Senator Anderson's bill that we heard several weeks ago. And subdivision 6 was not in this document on Friday, but we did hear Senator Anderson's Senate file 2112. And this is the language from that was basically taken out of the bill and laid on the table for inclusion in this. And again, subdivision 7 are appropriation conditions. Section 9 is from Senator Chaudhry's bill dealing with the performance standards for low-impact development and other stormwater management techniques. Section 10 was from Senator Stevens, Senate File 671. It deals with the Mississippi River critical area. And this is the bill that the subcommittee heard last week and was amended in subcommittee. And there were some issues with the way it was engrossed. There were two conflicting amendments. And the way you saw it last week, it didn't quite fit the two. We weren't able to fit the two amendments. So in talking with the advocates and the people who were sponsoring those amendments, we did make some adjustments to engross it the way the intent of the committee worked and the way the intent of the sponsor of the amendments. And I'll show you on page 19.17 to 19.18, where it says, and take into account municipal plans, policies, and existing ordinances and conditions. I think we just had existing ordinances in the document on Saturday. And then the same language on the top of page 20 on 20.1, take into account municipal plans and policies and existing ordinances and conditions. So that was the way that I guess the intent was when the two amendments were adopted. It didn't quite work out that way. And so that, Madam Chair, I think that's it for going through the bill draft.
Thank you, Mr. Neff. Mr. Mueller, do you want to walk through the spreadsheets?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mr. Mueller, would you want to please take us through
sure.
the spreadsheet?
Sure, Madam Chair. And first of all, maybe have a quick overview on the pie chart, basically showing, at least overall, where the allocations are going. The pie chart, there's two pie charts, both represent the same totals, showing it in two different sort of looks at it. The first one shows the money going out by percent for the different six different categories: 29.2% for point source protection, 33.8% for non-point source protection and preservation. You got 25.1% for assessment monitoring and TMDL development, 5.1% for ground and drinking water protection, 0.4% for education and public engagement, and then 6.4% for research and tool development. The second chart uses the same totals but showing the amount in dollars and then putting it into a little bit more broader categories. We have $95.1 million for protection, restoration, and preservation, $37.9 million for assessment, monitoring, and planning, $7.6 for ground and drinking water protection and preservation, and $10.3 million for education, research, and tools.
And is this for the biennial?
Yes, that's the biennial totals. Madam Chair, I'll start through the spreadsheet. It's a two-pager, front and back. We'll start on, I didn't number the pages. So the ones where the lines on the very left column start 1 through 6. Line 6 is non-point source protection and preservation. The first item, we have $2.8 million to the DNR for non-point source restoration and preservation. And again, the, as Mr. Knopf noted, the, there's new language in the bill allowing some of this money to be used for AMAs. Line number 8 is targeted non-point restoration cost share to Bowser. Line number 9 is $1 million for the biennium to the Anoka Conservation District for Metro Landscapes. Line 10 is $500,000 for the Conservation Corps for contracted services. Line 11 is, again, another Bowser program for targeted non-point restoration technical assistance, $5.5 million. Line 12, the county subsurface treatment system program, is $3.5 million. 13, imminent threat failing SSTS grants, is $1.8 million. Feedlot water quality assessments,
$400,000.
$4 million. Yes, thanks. Line 15, local non-point conservation and preservation grants, $4 million. Another Bowser program, stream bank, lakeshore and roadside restoration. We have $3.5 million. Within that program is a amount set aside for the Hennepin County project for $500,000. Then we have the $750,000 to PCA for the St. Louis River and Duluth Harbor cleanup project. That was in the governor's bill. Line 19 is $450,000 for the Mississippi River critical area, the Senator Sieben bill. Line 20 is $590,000 to Bowser for the measures, results, and accountability. And the last one here, we have the Ag BMP the Ag BMP loan program to the Department of Ag for $4.5 million. Again, total for non-point source protection and preservation is $51.09 million. The next item is point source protection. These are all PFA programs, though. Line 32, the agency there should actually be PFA, not PCA. Back to line 28, the TMDL grant program is $23.25 million. The phosphorus reduction grants is $13.4 million. Small community wastewater treatment is $5 million. Technical assistance grants is $400,000. And then the reused wastewater pilot projects is $2 million. And again, that should be the PFA and not Pollution Control Agency. The second page, we get to assessment, monitoring, and TMDL development. The first item is to PCA, $11.954 million for their assessments and monitoring. Then we have $546,000 for the Red River Watch Program and another $500,000 for the St. Croix Watershed Monitoring Proposal. We have $375,000 on line 40 for endocrine disruptor. On line 41, $3 million to DNR for their water quality assessment and monitoring. Line 42 and 40 is $310,000 to the Department of Ag for their pesticide monitoring and water assessment. And then there's a separate line item, $395,000 for the Root River Watershed. Line 44 is $18 million to the PCA for their TMDL developments. Then within that, there's another $25,000 for the Buffalo River Watershed.
$250,000.
Too many numbers. Line 46, $2.1 million to DNR for TMDL studies and implementation. And the last one in this category, $500,000 to the Department of Ag for their TMDL technical assistance. The next category is ground and drinking water protection. We have $1.5 million to PCA for their ground and drinking water protection, $740,000 to DNR for their ground and drinking water assessment and protection, $1.335 million to, there's two Department of Health line items here that were both in the governor's budget, The first one, line 55, is drinking water contaminants monitoring, $1.335 million. And then source water protection and preservation on line 56 is for $2.415 million. The water supply planning for Met Council is $900,000. And drinking water protection at the Department of Ag, the last item there, is $740,000. For a total of $7.63 million for drinking and groundwater protection, at least in that separate category. Education and public engagement, there's a few line items here, $250,000 to Bowser, $250,000 to PCA, and then $100,000 for the Star Lakes Board proposal. The last category is research and tool development. We have $1.4 million to the Department of Ag for their research and evaluation. In addition to that is two other separate line items within the Department of Ag, $150,000 to the South Central Service Co-op for their work on some curriculum, and $300,000 for the Livestock Environmental Quality Assurance Program. We have $1 million for the County Geological Atlas Survey, $500,000 to PCA for urban stormwater standards, $5.6 million for the high-resolution elevation data, or LIDAR. And then the last one is $750,000 to University of Minnesota for a sustainable water resources framework. Get a total of $151 million even. Broke out by year, fiscal year 2010, the $69.522 million is the amount when we leave the 10% set aside for the reserve, that same amount that the Lessard Council is appropriating in their first year. And then the second year, the 81.478 is pretty much the amount available that's expected to come into the fund the second year. I rounded a little bit to make it a nice even $151 million for the biennium. And that is it.
Committee members, Senator Kugley.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Mueller, did you say on line 16 and 17 that the Hennepin County stream banks were included in the line 16 number? I thought that's what you said, but maybe not. Is that additional money? Or?
Madam Chair, Senator Kubley, that's an addition. All these numbers are separate line items, so it's $3.5 million for the overall program, then another $50,000 for the $500,000 for the Hennepin County project.
Yeah, that was the only one I saw, or I thought I heard differently, Madam Chair. The others were indicated as the add-ons.
Yes.
Here I was hoping that if I found something, I got to spend it, you know.
Other comments or questions from the committee? Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, on page 7, subdivisions 4 and 5, small community wastewater treatment grants and loans. The subdivision 4 and then subdivision 5 is small community technical assistance. Those are the same program, and they're for small communities to help them put in largely individual septic systems under a program where they would be monitored and make sure that they are maintained. I don't think we need to divide out Subdivision 5 from Subdivision 4. I think they could be combined because they're the same program. If we would just combine the $400,000 with the $5 million, because I don't know how PFA can judge who's going to come in for and request technical assistance. By separating them out, we might have money in the small community technical assistance that's sitting there unused where they could use it somewhere else in that same program. I think in Mr. Knopf helped my memory a little bit. Perhaps this is broken out at one time because of a bonding bill. The technical assistance would not be eligible for bonding while the rest of that program would be.
Madam Chair, Senator Fredrickson, that's correct. It was broken out in previous years because we used bonding money for the actual grants and loans, and technical assistance, we used general fund for that.
Okay.
And the issue is some of these communities are very small. In fact, some of them are not even incorporated. They just operate through a township. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the wherewithal to do the upfront technical work to even begin to develop a system. So this will give them a small amount of money to do some of that upfront work to develop a system.
So, Senator Fredrickson, do you want to make an amendment, or?
Madam Chair, I would. I would like to, on page 7, delete lines 14 through 19, and the appropriation that was in that line 14 line just be added to the amount that's on line 9.
Senator Fredrickson, could we add in then somewhere in line between 7.10 and 7.11 the words technical assistance grants?
Well, Madam Chair, we could, but I think it would be a little redundant because it's all part of that
water
same
water treatment
program.
Grants, okay.
The technical assistance grants are subdivision 4 of 446A075.
Discussion on the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair, I do have another amendment.
Certainly, Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, it's the A4 amendment, and it goes to the two parts in this bill where we're talking about civic engagement. Education, I believe, is the term. Education and public engagement.
12 and 13.
Page 12 lines.
Madam
25.
Chair, I think what one of the things we've been trying to promote in the state is looking at basin-wide programs and looking at a whole watershed together. There's some examples of where there have been boards formed to do that, like I look at the correct name of it. We just call it the Red River Board, but the Red River Basin Commission. Another one is the Minnesota River Basin Board. And what my amendment would do, it would instruct DCA and Bowser to give some consideration when they're doing these education and engagement to these basin-wide boards. Doesn't instruct that they have to accept whatever the board's proposed, but it would give them a little bit of direction that if a basin-wide board does have a project, that they look at it very closely and consider it for funding.
Any discussion on Senator Fredrickson's motion or amendment? Hearing none, Senator Fredrickson moves the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Thank you, Senator Fredrickson. We're very quiet this morning. I'm tired.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
I just might make one comment. Senator Kubley made a very interesting point yesterday in conversation where I'm looking at the Bowser number for targeted non-point restoration cost share for $17.7 million. That's a lot of money. And Senator Kubley pointed out that targeted non-point restoration sounded kind of contradictory to him. And I just want to – so we had a good conversation about that. I think he's right, but I also think that we need to do things perhaps a little differently than we've done them in the past, and I hope that is conveyed clearly in this bill that this is a lot of money that we're putting out there for non-point restoration and protection, and I think it does need to be targeted. And, you know, the whole concept of non-point is a little vague, and it makes it sound like it's everything in the state that's not a pipe, you know. And we need to be a little more intentional, I think, about how we do our non-point restoration work. We need to focus on the areas that where shoreline or other land management changes would have the most impact in terms of protecting waters that need protecting from impairment and also restoring waters that are impaired. And so I hope that we can sort of redefine what non-point programs mean, to because they do need to be targeted. And maybe we need a new word, because Senator Kubley's right that they sound sort of, it sounds like an oxymoron almost, but we need to do a better job of thinking about all of that land and all of that water and how we're going to really prioritize the work that we do to make a difference in water quality in those, for both impaired waters and pristine waters. So I hope that we've got some language in here that tries to steer things in that direction, and I hope that the agencies will be able to deliver on that concept.
And Senator Anderson, I guess one of the things that I'm thinking about in this bill, maybe the word I've been playing with is systematic, that this bill represents a beginning of a systematic approach where we're going to be protecting, enhancing, and restoring Minnesota waters watershed by watershed. And so assessment folks come in and they identify the waters that are clean and they identify the waters that are impaired. Step two is they put in place a plan. The plan both protects the clean waters but then sets in motion by priorities the impaired waters. Then step three is the implementation. And step four is to go back and reassess. So the majority, if you look back at the graph that Mr. Mueller gave you, and you look at most of the graph deals with that systematic approach. Most of the funds go toward this systematic 81 major watersheds, watershed by watershed approach. But I do think what I'm looking for, and I think we put some language in here, I'm looking for when we give out these dollars that we get back some kind of accountability, some kind of where were the dollars, not only where they were spent, but and I think in the beginning is what the expected outcome is. But then we go back and say, did we do that? The question is, not only are our waters clean today or impaired, but are they cleaner or dirtier than they were before? And that's what I'm going to be pressing the agencies for, is constantly giving us those benchmarks to show us that we are, in fact, making the progress that Minnesota's citizens expect us to make. Did you have a comment? Senator Kubley.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I don't know how important the language is, as long as we know what we're talking about. But to me, I guess systematic or even systemic would be a better word than targeted. Targeted to me means, specific. It means today, I think it can also mean like surgical. I mean, it's very specific. Whereas, systematic or systemic, could apply to something like a watershed. Whereas, targeted is a much broader. It's like the difference between using a rifle and a shotgun, I suppose, but it's,
That's precisely what I think the difference of this is we're moving away from a shotgun approach to a far more target, systematic.
It's just that the target is so much bigger, Madam Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Knopf, that's the idea of the word focused. And focused based on priorities, I do think that the most impaired waters get the top priorities.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I agree with what both of you have said. Again, I think it's almost been random, in my opinion, the efforts, some of the non-point restoration. At least from the policymakers' point of view, it's been sort of wherever we can find a good project, we'll do a good project, rather than focusing on where it will do the most good and actually affect the water quality. And I know that's not an easy thing to accomplish when you're talking about, how many miles of shoreland and river, riparian land do we have in this state? Somebody probably knows the answer to that, but I don't. It's enormous. But, we need to focus on where these dollars make a difference. Otherwise, we owe that to the people who voted to spend this money. We've got to get results for it. So we have to keep our eyes on that. And maybe we do need a better word, because targeted is too small, because it's not a pipe.
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, whatever word we use, whether it's targeted or focus or some other word, I would hope our first priority would be where there's been a TMDL developed and the source of the impairment is coming off the landscape, in other words, non-point source pollution. And that would be our first priority for these funds. And probably the second is where there might be an impairment that if we don't take an action, there will be an impairment in the water course. So in other words, the preservation of water quality, where that water quality is being threatened by some type of action on the land. And then, as has been said by all of you, there's mm-hmm. many, many good projects across the state that it would be good to do, but we need to prioritize and make sure that we spend the money where it's most needed and where it'll do the most good, and also where there'll be results. But we need to comply with the Federal Clean Water Act. You know, that should be our first priority.
Absolutely. And as I understand in my conversations with the agencies and with the advocates, when they go in and do this assessment, it's cheaper to preserve clean water, clean, than is come back and improve it. So the plans will try to do both simultaneously in the whole watershed. So if you clean up just one part of the watershed, well, water moves, and it can get into impaired water. So it seems like we have to do those things in tandem, and maybe that's the most efficient way to get at the problem. Do we want to take comment? What do we do next?
Sure, if you want.
From the folks in the room, is there anyone that wants to make comments on what we put before you?
Body language improves.
Mr. Robertson's putting a thumbs up. That's a good sign. I mean, I'm stunned. Do we make a motion? What do we do?
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to make a motion.
Madam Chair, we want to make a motion to incorporate the numbers within the spreadsheet into the document. And then any other technical changes that the staff need to make to make it all work.
So, Senator Anderson, do you want to make that motion?
I would make that motion, Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson moves to put the numbers in the spreadsheet, incorporate them into the document with whatever other technical changes need to be made. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted.
And now I just move the amendment to the bill.
And I would like to move the A2 amendment as amended.
Madam Chair, I could make that motion.
Oh, okay.
For you. To move the A2 amendment as amendment to Senate File 1651.
Senator Anderson moves the amendment as amendment to Senate File, got the number? 1651. Any discussion? Any final discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
And then, Madam Chair, I would move that Senate File 1651 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Finance Division.
Senator Anderson. Good. On Senator Anderson's motion, is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you all. I want to again thank everyone, whether it's from the advocacy groups or the agencies, and for your patience with us and for your input. And we welcome your support as we move along this journey. Thank you for coming this morning.
Journey.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.